Suzanne Somers was one of the biggest TV stars of the 1980s and 1990s. She starred on sitcoms like Three's Company and Step by Step, and she also made a name for herself by marketing the iconic fitness gadget, the Thighmaster. Well, sadly, Susan died of cancer in 2023, but now her husband of 46 years has brought her back, kind of. Somers' widower, Alan Hamill, has created an AI clone of her, saying that when he sees the two of them side by side, even he can't tell which is real and which is AI. He plans to upload her to be a 24/7 AI chatbot for her fans. So what are the ethical implications of creating an AI bot of a loved one? Well, Patrick Stokes is an associate professor of philosophy at Deakin University. He's back in our regular segment that I call Ask Aristotle. Pat, could Aristotle even fathom this conversation?
Well, no, but he did have some views on the dead and whether the dead can be harmed or benefited and things like that. So even some of these seemingly really modern problems, and they are very kind of, you know, contemporary sort of problems, they have kind of antecedents that go right back into the philosophical canon.
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. Well, I want to get to that, but first, when you first heard about this AI Susan Somers, what was your, like, visceral reaction at first?
Yeah, well, I have to admit, this is actually a topic that I've been working on for about 15 years, for quite a while now.
Susan Somers AI.
Not Susan Somers, but not Susan Somers specifically, no. It's not Thighmaster studies, but no, I've been interested in, for a very long time, in digital death and the way in which we use what people call our digital remains, the things that we leave behind when we die, and how we remediate those, how we like use them in AI and in memorials and things like that. I've been working on that topic for, yeah, quite a long time now, as have a great many other people, I should say. And just in the last 12, 18 months, suddenly everyone wants to talk about this. So it's been a good time for people working on the topic of digital death. And I'm currently doing a 3-year ARC-funded project called Digital Death and Immortality here at Deakin Uni. And so this is one that sort of came up, and me and the other people on the team were like, oh, hey, did you see that thing about Susan Somers? And it's interesting in the sense that on the one hand, this is something a lot of people are doing. A lot of very ordinary people are doing this as well. They're setting up AI bots of loved ones as part of their grieving process. We've been talking about this as a looming technology, as I say, for nearly 15 years. And then probably about 18 months ago, people went, oh, hang on, they're already doing it commercially at scale in China. Yeah. So this is already happening. This is already a thing. It's loomed. The problem has loomed. And so the Susan Somers one is not that new in that sense, but the fact that it's Susan Somers, the fact that it's high profile, and the fact that her husband, Alan Hamill, has got these really big plans for this bot are really quite fascinating, some of which look really speculative, but it is a really interesting example.
When I first heard this idea of anyone being a 24/7 chatbot, I was just like, oh, can't that poor woman just have a break now? Like, obviously it's not her, I know that, but this idea of resting in peace feels really hard if anyone, any huge number of people could be theoretically talking to you at any time of the day forever.
Yeah, this is actually a huge problem. There's a worry that chatbots in general and death bots in particular, we call them death bots. In our project, we call them IPCDs, interactive personality constructs of the dead, but that doesn't
death
exactly...
Death bots, snappier for sure.
Yeah, let's go with death bots for the moment. There's a worry that because they're always on, because they're always available, and that's true of AI in general, there's a worry that that will actually distort our sense of what we can expect from people. That will actually, like, you know, real flesh and blood people who aren't always there, who seem to sleep sometimes and sometimes don't answer your messages immediately or leave you on bread or whatever, may not be as satisfying to us as AI. And there's a real kind of worry there that'll either change our etiquette or it will make us just generally disappointed in real people and start to prefer AI. But there's also just this general question too of, should Susan Somers have to keep doing this? Should she have to keep working, you know, after she's died? That sounds silly in a way, but it's a legit question. One of the things her husband's floated is he said, well, now I've got an AI of Susan Somers, why can't we get the estate of John Ritter to make an AI of the actor John Ritter, who died of a heart attack on the set of 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter some years ago, and put them both in to do some new episodes of Three's Company, the show they were doing in the late 70s, early 80s. And it's like, yeah, or we could let these people not do that. and like not actually kind of exploit the dead to do new episodes of things. There are, at the very least, there are some serious questions about the propriety of doing that.
Okay, so this is what you were talking about before. You were like, Aristotle even thought about whether it's possible to harm the dead. If, honestly, like, it feels crass to talk about it, and with all respect to these people who have loved and have gone, but what difference does it really make to monetize their likeness if they're not here anymore?
Well, this is an interesting thing. I find people kind of split into two camps. So some people are with that sort of Aristotle view, according to which Aristotle said it would be heartless to claim that the dead are not harmed or benefited by things like the fortunes of their descendants, for instance. And a lot of us have those intuitions that, for instance, if you find out somebody was wrongly hanged for a crime they didn't commit 100 years ago, there's a sense in which exonerating them is the right thing to do for them. Not just for everyone else who's alive now, but also for them. It's a good thing to do for them, to restore their name. Equally, if you slander someone who's dead, it seems like you're harming them. When they're alive, they had an interest in having a good reputation, and you're harming that reputation. So some people fall into that camp. Other people side with one of Aristotle's students, Epicurus, and say, yeah, you know what? If you can't experience it, it doesn't matter. Right. So if you can't, and if the dead can't experience things like being slandered or being praised, then you're not actually harming or benefiting them. So it doesn't really matter. So if you want to use a chatbot of someone who's long dead and exploit their image in that way, who cares? I'm kind of more in the former camp, but I kind of also get where people are coming from who are in that Epicurean side as well.
And so I suppose one of the things that lies behind this is that someone who lived 100 years ago would not have even known how to say that their wishes were like, please don't make an AI chatbot of me.
Yeah.
But these days we do have that, and that's actually something that some of your colleagues have looked at.
Yeah, so there's this interesting question about whether or not you can have how much autonomy you can have over this process. For some people, you know, before they die, they might say, yeah, go ahead and clone me after I die. Set up an AI chatbot based on me. That's fine. Or even you can do it now before I die. And with Susan Summers, that seems to have been the case, actually, that they talked about it before she died. Apparently, she and her husband were friends with Ray Kurzweil, the futurist, and they'd talked about this years ago. So this is something she was apparently kind of on board with. Other people have done that. William Shatner's done a similar thing. So you can go down that path. On the other hand, this is a question of after somebody's died, is it okay to do it? And to a certain extent, it comes down to a kind of relationship of stewardship. You know, in a way, we have a kind of responsibility to steward the dead who are kind of handed over into our care. Like, so, and that can be as simple as organising someone's funeral, right? Deciding how that funeral is going to be. It's a kind of stewardship. And in that sense, you can say you're making a decision on behalf of the person whether or not it's okay to make a chatbot out of them. Interesting question about whether anyone should have the authority to do that. And if so, who has the authority? What happens if people within a family disagree? And this is some of the stuff we're trying to work on in this project, is coming up with some sort of ethical frameworks to put around this stuff. But there's also an interesting question of whether people should have the right to say preemptively before they die, no, when I die, delete my stuff, do not reanimate me. Deborah Bassett, who's a researcher who works on this stuff in the UK, has slightly cheekily called these digital do not resuscitate orders. So just as you can get an order when you go into hospital saying, if my heart stops, don't resuscitate me, just let me go, there's an interesting question of whether people should be able to say, if I die, I don't want any AI recreations of me after I die, and exerting authority that way. And one of the problems here is just that the law is way behind the technology here in most jurisdictions. At best, there's some protection for celebrities. There's New York State, for instance, if you're a celebrity and you die because your image has monetary value, you can actually, or your estate does have an automatic right to control how that image is used. Now, that's only just come in, including AI uses. But for ordinary people, there's really no kind of protection beyond just intellectual property law, and it's a real problem that we don't have protections of people against this stuff.
So that's like my choice about my, you know, digital image. But then we also have seen recently, just staying with the celebrity theme, Robin Williams' daughter Zelda has asked fans to stop sending her AI-generated videos of her dad. It can disrupt people's grieving process.
Yeah, there's an interesting question around whether these technologies, which are sometimes presented to us as technologies for helping with grief, and particularly now that prolonged grief disorder, so grief that goes on too long or is too kind of disruptive, is actually recognised as a medical condition, according to the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual 5. Because of that, there's a suggestion that these technologies can be used to help people with their grief, to help them learn to move on or to renegotiate their relationship with a dead person, which, when you think about it, is kind of what grieving is. There's a very provocative paper from 2022 from a Swedish grad student named Laura Lindemann, then grad student, in which she said, oh, okay, well, she's kind of calling people's bluff on this and saying, if you think these are techniques or technologies for dealing with extended grief, then we're talking about medical technologies and they should be regulated as such. So if you want to use a death bot, you need to get a prescription from a psychiatrist, because otherwise, you know, we just don't let people use medical technologies or therapeutic technologies without regulation, which I think is a really interesting point. If that's what they're meant to be, then they need to be regulated.
So, Pat, would you sign a digital DNR? Or can we talk to you on Life Matters in perpetuity if you ever do shuffle off?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in two minds about it. On the one hand, I don't think anyone would bother setting up a bot to, unless it was to yell at me. But on the other hand, I'm kind of like, you know, there are going to be uses of the technology that I can't imagine right now. And saying no preemptively to things that you can't imagine might actually be more problematic than just leaving it open-ended and leaving it to the goodwill of your stewards.
Another ethical minefield we'll have to leave for another day. Pat, as always, thanks for chatting with me.
Thanks, Tegan.
Patrick Stokes is an associate professor of philosophy at Deakin University. Our regular chats are called Ask Aristotle.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.